Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, June 7th, 2017. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on The Dad Show, I'm talking with Todd Brough about his family's trip to Orlando for Star Wars Celebration. Welcome back to the show, Todd.
Hey there, Aaron.
So this was a little bit different kind of trip for you. Why don't you start by kind of filling us in on the background? How is it that this trip came about? This sort of April timeframe is not your usual Disney travel time.
Yeah, normally we don't go during April, early April, Easter for that matter. We have been in April once or twice, later April. But for this particular one, when I found out that Star Wars Celebration was coming to Orlando again, being a big, huge Star Wars fan that I am, I definitely wanted to, you know, see if the family would agree to a trip to go there. And through some poking and prodding, we kind of made it work out. Basically, what happened was we had went actually in November of last year in 2016, and we fly Southwest out of New Orleans, and basically we got a reduced rate on those flights. The price dropped after we booked the flights, and so we each had a good substantial amount of credit towards another trip, which we had to use before June. And basically, we were trying to figure out when to go before June. You know, we didn't want to go in June because it's typically pretty hot. But we've been.
You say to the guy who's getting ready to head down to Orlando here in June shortly, but I feel you.
Yeah, if you had to choose, you wouldn't go that time unless it was again something with Star Wars or something like that. You know, back in the day, Star Wars Celebration was in June, end of May. So you know, I've been at that time as well.
Right, right.
So we had some credits towards Southwest, and we went ahead and actually. We're able to use those credits towards the flights in April, and that way it was more cost effective for us for the flights to go to Star Wars Celebration. So it was great.
So you got a double there. You got to do the event you wanted to be there for, and you were able to do it at a little bit reduced cost. You had those credits that were going to expire. So the first piece is you've got credits that are going to expire. You've got a time you want to go. So that part is set. Talk about the planning stages. How do you integrate in the planning stages the Star Wars Celebration event with, kind of satisfying the rest of the family's stuff that they want to do when you're going to travel to Orlando?
Yeah, another great reason why we also went during that time, it kind of worked out, was that my daughter, in school, we had taken her out of school in November. She's in first grade, which is, it's pretty easy to take a kid out in first grade most of the time. But what we did is we didn't want to risk taking her out for a longer period of time and having her miss more school. So being Easter week that week, it kind of really fell into place great. And so basically what we did is we found our hotel. We ended up staying at Port Orleans Riverside this time, which we have stayed at before. We really quite enjoy it. And let me backtrack as well. It was my family of four, my two kids, my son Luke, which is two, my daughter, which is six, and my wife, and then also my mother and father. And they normally do travel with us. There's maybe been one Disney trip within the recent history that they have not been with us. So that's a good plus for us. We have them as, help with the kids and that sort of thing. So it really helps out for us.
Yeah, that's always a nice bonus when you've got somebody who can, help you out, making sure that, gives you a little more flexibility, I think.
Yes, it does. It does. And typically what happens with our travels, my, my mom and dad sleep in, they don't really rush out to the parks anymore. You know, they'll show up about 10, maybe 11, 12 o'clock sometime during the day. And so it's kind of like the second wave, you know, helping there.
That's right. You get relief corps. I like that.
Good yeah, plan. Exactly. It's pretty good.
All right, so you've got, you know, presumably two rooms there at Port Orleans. That part is set. You know, talk a little bit then about the planning aspect of integrating Star Wars Celebration and the Walt Disney World parts of the trip.
Yeah, sure. So what we were doing is, since it was our first Star Wars Celebration, you know, I of course would have liked to have been there all the 4 days, which is the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But that wasn't possible with, you know, again, with my daughter's school schedule, you know.
Right.
So their first day of vacation was on Good Friday on the 14th. So that was the day where we decided to leave. So we decided our trip was going to be from Good Friday the 14th to the 20th, which is the next Thursday. So being we would fly in on that Friday, you know, we would miss the Thursday, we would miss the Friday. And then Easter Sunday, it was that Sunday. So we wanted to be in the parks at Magic Kingdom for that Sunday. So we basically were designated to one day, which was the Saturday, the 15th at the Star Wars Celebration. So that was our day for Star Wars Celebration.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense, right? You just sort of start plugging in what has to happen and what's left is what's optional. Your day at Star Wars Celebration is Saturday, and you're arriving on Friday. Do you try to make a park day out of your arrival day, or are you one who likes to kind of ease into things?
No, normally we ease into things. Typically the way it works is, like I said, we fly out of New Orleans, which is about 2.5 hours from our house. So we, you know, taking an early flight is really pretty difficult with the kids to, you know, take a morning flight. So we usually take an afternoon flight. Our flight was at 1:10 and then we arrived around 4 o'clock that afternoon. So by the time you take Magical Express, get to the hotel, it's, you know, 5, 6 o'clock and there's really not much time for anything else that day. So we ended up finding our rooms. We had two pool view rooms connecting in the Alligator Bayou section. And we pretty much ate at the food court there at Port Orleans.
Nice. So that's your settle in day, and then your next day is heading to Star Wars Celebration. And I think that's an interesting piece to, you know, all of us, because first of all, Star Wars Celebration, distinct from Star Wars Weekends, is more of a convention gathering, and it doesn't happen on Walt Disney World property. It happens nearby. So talk a little bit then about what your day at the Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, so we woke up early that morning around 7, went down, got dressed, had some breakfast at the hotel there. And then we had it is at Orlando Convention Center, downtown Orlando, kind of near Universal property, that sort of thing. It's around there. And so we could have taken cabs and that sort of thing. But my wife, since, you know, she's very adamant about our two kids having seats being protected, that
right,
sort of thing,
seats.
Child seats, that sort of thing. So we went ahead and we booked Happy Limo, you know, to and from, you know, a car service to right. and from with a van. And they worked out really well. One caveat to them that, you know, was kind of funny that since this was our first trip to Orlando, the convention center, we had never been. Most of the time when we go to Disney, we stay at Disney. We don't go anywhere else.
Right.
So, you know, I told them, you know, told the driver, Orlando Convention Center and Star Wars Celebration, you know, he knew where, but apparently at the convention center, there's different buildings. There's like a north, a south, maybe a west concourse, or the different concourses. And I had no idea which concourse it was at.
Yeah. It's a huge convention center.
Yeah, maybe I could have done a little bit more research and tried to find which concourse it was. But I figured once I told the guy, hey, this is where we're going, he would kind of know. And we kind of drove around the blocks a couple of times. We had drove into one concourse, maybe the south concourse, and there was like nobody. I was like, this is definitely not the entrance, you know. So eventually we found it. So I kind of was a little turned off by their service. Not, you know, that they were bad drivers. It was just like, hey, you know this city better than I do. I would have expected you to know where to drop me off.
Kind of thing. I told you what I was coming here for.
Yeah, exactly. But we got there, wasn't a problem. We actually ended up, I had been watching the online streams and feeds the last couple of days, you know, on the Thursday and the Friday, because of course they had the big reveals for The Last Jedi and a few of the different things, the 40th celebration itself with the panel with George Lucas and all the, you know, Harrison Ford and all those guys were in that panel as well. So I watched it online and it was starting to be a debacle as far as entrance goes. And so I was kind of getting worried about how long it was going to take us to get into the convention itself. And to our surprise, you know, we ended up showing that the convention starts at 10 in the morning. I think we ended up getting there about 9:15, 9:30 maybe. And there was quite a line, but it was all inside, which was a good thing. It wasn't the big, humongous lines that they had outside the last couple of days before, because I think what happened was they ended up opening more doors or getting more entrances.
Sure.
Kind of learning as they go kind of thing. And, you know, it was pretty good. We waited maybe 30 minutes in line, like I said, and we went right in. So it wasn't too bad as far as the entrance goes.
Good. And, you know, I also think that a lot of times, with, you know, the farther into the convention days, it you kind of get protected a little bit from that pent up rush, right? I mean, you got a lot of people who can't wait to get there for the first day. And so because some of the events had already happened, maybe you bled off some of that, you know, high adrenaline fan rush for the first day.
Yeah, yeah. And believe me, there still were lines and they still had the mad dashes for the, you know, for the celebration store and for the merchandise and things like that. And we were really not there. I mean, I would have liked to have gotten into some of those panels and I would have liked to have gotten in line for some of the merchandise, but it was just really too long with my family. You know, I actually attempted at one time during the day to get into the company store and try to get some merchandise. And I was there for maybe about an hour. And I was like, this line isn't moving any. I'm going to be in this line for 3 more hours. There's no way I can do this. So I just, I wasn't going to wait in line for 3-4 hours for a shirt and a pin, you know?
Right, right. I can't blame you. I get that. All right. So you've got, you know, you got there, you got in, the whole family is with you. Give us kind of the highlights of what you did do during at the convention. You know, what kinds of things you saw, what kinds of things you experienced that were, you know, the things that stood out. I mean, we don't need it every second, but what were the highlights of that aspect of the trip?
Well, they definitely had a lot of amazing costumes. You know, people there in cosplay dressed up as, you know, stormtroopers, Darth Vader, you name it, they had it, you know, sure. Jedis. So the kids really enjoyed that. They had, you know, Lego section, so the kids really liked the Lego section. There was a lot of hands-on activities you could have done. It's just, again, we didn't. In one day, you can't do it all. You can't see it all. You know, if we would have committed to one certain thing or one certain activity, you're probably taking up an hour, 2 hours just to do that one thing. So we really didn't kind of get involved with much of that. We kind of walked around for the most part, watched some things. We went and did meet Steve Sansweet from Rancho Obi-Wan. We did make a point to go to his booth. So that was really neat to meet him. There was also another artist, you know, there's an artist alley where they have artists drawing and painting that sign, you know, portraits and paintings that they do, artist sketches, things like that.
Right.
There's one guy, his name is Christian Wagoner. I can't really pronounce his last name, but he does a reflections series where it's just some really nice art that I like. And I follow him on Facebook and online, and he had a booth and I went up to him and got to meet him, and got to have him autograph, a couple of, like baseball cards, Star Wars baseball cards. And, that was pretty neat. So, got to meet a couple celebrity artists and that sort of thing.
Nice. And it sounds like, you know, you found, I mean, I would have been a little concerned that with younger kids, you know, that they'd get bored or that there wouldn't be things to keep them engaged. But it sounds like there were some good activities that, you know, would keep them engaged and allow you to get to do what you wanted to do because there were some things to engage them as well.
There was also a kids and adult family area up on second level that we went to, and it, you know, they had kids coloring tables and things like that for them to color, and I think they had maybe some like remote control R2-D2 like races and things like that they could do, and We didn't stay in there too long because it kind of seemed a little bit unorganized to me. You know, it's like it wasn't anybody really directing things. It was kind of difficult to figure out what was going on. I mean, the kids sat down. Yeah, they sat down and they colored a little bit. Luckily, both my kids are big Star Wars fans. Of course, my son's name is Luke, so he's very much a Star Wars fan. So is my daughter. So again, like you said, they definitely had stuff for the family to do. We could have like I said, we could have got a little more involved. There was like model building area where you could build like models of things, and you know, again, we didn't really have much time for that, you know. And in the beginning, my daughter was kind of like, "I'm ready to go back to Disney," you know, that sort of thing. But she ended up kind of, you know, getting into the groove as the day went on. And we didn't stay quite all that long. We originally were going to stay till 7, till, you know, closing time or around that time. But we ended up probably about 5 o'clock leaving. So we did spend a good day. You know, we spent a good 6-7 hours there. So.
Right. Yeah, well, it sounds like you got a full day out of the experience, and that it was, you know, worth making the trek over there.
It was. And unfortunately, the one downside, I didn't say downside, but my wife and them, they probably wouldn't go back, you know, just because, you know, I'm such a Star Wars fan and would want to go to the panels and would want to wait 3 hours in line to see,
sure,
you know, the celebrities and do that sort of thing. So
right.
If and when, well, it's coming back in 2019. They just haven't announced where, if it's going to be Orlando or back to Anaheim. You know, it might be a solo trip on that one. Maybe if I can pull strings.
Yeah, I could understand that. Okay, so that's the Star Wars celebration piece. But then you still had, you know, several days of Walt Disney World to experience. So let's just kind of start working our way through, you know, your experiences back over at Walt Disney World. And you said, you know, this was a little bit shorter trip than your usual Walt Disney World vacation. So I suspect that your planning process was maybe a little different because you had to do some different prioritization.
Yeah, normally we will stay 8 days, 7 nights, or something like that, 9 days, 7 nights. So this one is a little shorter, and so it basically only allowed us 1 day for each park, because of course we have to go to each park. You know, we're a family where we can't skip a park. So as the main focus, of course, like the next day on the Sunday is Easter Sunday, so that was one of our main highlights, that we wanted to go to Magic Kingdom that day. Because in the past, and I have known that there are Easter things that happen, you know, there's meet with Mr. and Mrs. Bunny, which we definitely wanted to do that meet and greet. And then they also have the girls with the dresses from Georgia. I think they're from Georgia, and they're in front of the – so they have a little pre-Easter parade before the Festival of Fantasy parade. So we definitely wanted to catch those two things on that day.
Okay. So you had some special event stuff you wanted to make sure that you got to see. And so you were Magic Kingdom, and talk about just the highlights of Magic Kingdom. And obviously you had these goals. Were you able to do the things that you went there planning to do? And then what else kind of stood out?
Yeah, we pretty much got all the things we really wanted to do. I had been wanting a funnel cake for some reason at Sleepy Hollow for the longest period of time. And the last couple of trips, never got to do it. So this time we made it a priority for one of our snack times in the afternoon to head over to Sleepy Hollow. So we got to do that, got to eat a funnel cake. My daughter, she's 6, but she's very short. So some rides she can't ride quite yet. Last time when we went in November, she was tall enough. She was 42 inches, so she couldn't ride. But she's not quite at the 44-inch range yet. So this was our first time on Big Thunder Mountain this time. And she liked it, kinda, you could say. she was a little scared of Big Thunder Mountain this time. She rode with my father, which he has a large belly, and she's real small, and they have that lap bar that only goes down as far as you can push it down. So she was sliding around in the seat in Big Thunder Mountain. So she was kind of jostled around a little bit on that ride, you know. But the other day, a couple days ago, actually, she said, you know, I'm going to ride it again next year, but this year, next time I'm going to ride it with mama. So,
okay. I could see that. I could see that. I think if I remember correctly, at that stage, my son preferred to ride with my wife as well, primarily because my legs are bigger than hers are. And so the lap bar felt more secure riding with my wife.
Yeah. So I think that was the case. And I kind of thought about that when they rode together. You know, I didn't think she would not like it, which she didn't not like it, but she just, right. She was a little freaked out.
Yeah, I get that. That's a high point when you get the kid on a new classic attraction. It's a lot of fun. Anything else about Magic Kingdom that was a standout or a highlight moment?
Well, this was our last time to see Wishes before the changeover. So we had to make it a point, since this was our only day at Magic Kingdom.
Right, right.
We had to make sure we got us a spot about an hour early before the show. We just plopped down right in front of the hub and, you know, camped out and watched Wishes for the last time.
Very nice. Nice way to say goodbye to it. And did you do any dining in the Magic Kingdom as well, or did you go elsewhere for dinner?
No, we actually did a first. We did Diamond Horseshoe review for the first time. So
interesting. So what did you think of Diamond Horseshoe? Because I've heard some mixed reports.
We liked it. We liked it. It's kind of a sort of the same menu as like Whispering Canyon. It's a kind of barbecue type of thing. Uh-huh. You know, so there's I think there was like pot roast and maybe some turkey, and there was salad and cornbread, and so it was really good. I actually didn't particularly like the roast beef, but everybody else in my family enjoyed it. I think it was just a little too mushy of a consistency. It was too tender, I guess, if that can be a certain thing.
Right. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. The texture just isn't right at a certain point.
Yeah. But everything else we really enjoyed. You know, so it was definitely something we'll probably maybe try again if it's ever open, because I know it's kind of like on a per seasonal basis type of thing.
Sure. Well, and that's the other piece, and maybe that's a good thing to check on sort of as we move to another park is, you know, you were there over Easter week, which is a high crowd time at Walt Disney World. Did you find yourself having to alter plans at all or you know, make changes on the fly to accommodate issues related to the heavier crowds?
I was very surprised that the crowds were not that bad. I think this year was a little different, where a lot of the Easter breaks and, you know, spring breaks were all spread out this year throughout the country. Like,
oh, okay.
Because it, like I know for us, for instance, here in Louisiana, some of the kids had the week off before Easter, and some had it off the week after, just depending off if it was Catholic school or regular school.
Right, right.
And so it wasn't.
It was unusually late this year, which I think probably played into that.
Yeah, yeah. It really wasn't that bad. I was surprised. Like when we had went in November of last year, and I can't remember the exact dates, but I think it was like November 10th or around that time frame. Mm-hmm. There was one day at Magic Kingdom that it was so busy. It was even, that was more busy than it was for Easter Day. You know, it was very, and maybe Easter is a different type of, you know, different type of holiday where people are with their families on Easter rather than at the parks, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, could be. Okay. So from Magic Kingdom, let's hop a monorail and talk about your experiences at Epcot. You were there in April, so I believe that we would have still had some Flower and Garden Festival stuff going on. What were the highlights of the time you spent in Epcot?
Sure. Yeah, Epcot is always great, especially at the Flower and Garden. One thing for sure is always a little magical for us as well, and this is something I, you know, can relate to or mention, is that April 24th is both my wife and I's and my mother and father's anniversaries for our weddings.
Oh, nice.
We were actually both married on the same day and wasn't planned out that way. But my mother and father were celebrating 46 years. My wife and I were celebrating 8 years. So, you know, this time of year is kind of special, especially going to the Flower and Garden. Cause you know, when we had our honeymoon, my wife and I, Flower and Garden was happening. So, she loves flowers. So it's just kind of magical for us to go to Epcot during that time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course the Butterfly Gardens, my kids love the butterflies and that sort of thing. And one good thing we love about the Flower and Garden that Food and Wine doesn't necessarily have is Flower and Garden has the playgrounds for the kids. And that would be something I wish they would have year round, is like a little kind of garden area, playground area for the kids, kind of to.
Yeah, it would be nice, especially at Epcot, where there are sections of the park where I think adults would probably get the opportunity to explore a little more that, that they wanted to, if there was something to kind of, you know, let the kids get some of that out of them, like they would in a play area like that.
Exactly. Exactly. We had a couple other new firsts for this one. Again, with my daughter being tall enough this time. Last time she was a little afraid, but this time she actually rode Test Track for the first time. And so she really loved it. You know, can't wait to go on it again. There was no problems with that one, of course.
Great.
And we also ate, well, I had eaten there before, but none of my other, my, none of my family had done. We ate a Rose and Crown for the first time
for dinner. Great. Yeah, yeah, you know, it's funny, when we were at Walt Disney World with my parents for their 50th anniversary just a couple years ago, we had dinner at Rose and Crown as the sort of anniversary celebration. And it was great. I don't know if you mentioned to the cast members that it was everybody's anniversaries, but they treated us great when they knew it was an anniversary celebration.
We did. We had noted it on all the celebrations and had mentioned it to it, but for some reason this time we really didn't get much of a special treatment, which is fine, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think here and there we ended up getting, you know, a little extra dessert or a little the little birthday cupcake kind of anniversary cupcake type of thing, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all that big of a to do, that sort of thing.
Okay. So you did Rose and Crown. What did you think of the experience at Rose and Crown, you know, even without a lot of, you know, celebration to do?
Yeah, really good, really good. I had eaten there before. Like I said, everybody enjoyed their food. My dad had gotten fish and chips, which he really said was okay. Maybe there's a little difference between the ones inside there compared to the Yorkshire, you know, fish and chips next door. But other than that, I mean, the kids, my daughter is very picky, very, very picky eater. So it's very difficult to find anything she'll like. So, you know, here and there, you know, she ended up finding things here and there. But other than that, I mean, it was really a normal, decent, you know, place. I would definitely recommend it, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay. Sounds good. Anything else about Epcot that stood out? Any other attraction firsts or just, you know, experiences that were things that stand out in your mind about that day in the park?
No, nothing else really. You know, we ate a few things here and there at the kiosks during the, you know, the Flower and Garden Festival. Some of the kiosks tried a few little things here and there. You know, nothing amazingly excellent. The only thing that we definitely had to do, which my wife likes a lot, is those the candied strawberries for sure in China. We definitely had to check those out again.
Okay, cool. Then from Epcot, let's go ahead and jump in that friendship boat and take the slow ride over to Hollywood Studios and talk about your time at Hollywood Studios. I know you're a big Star Wars fan, so I expect that there are certain things about the studios that are generally highlights for you.
For sure, for sure. We definitely took in all that was Star Wars available there. My daughter and I rode Star Tours, and then we definitely went check out Launch Bay for a little while. And at first, my daughter wanted to do the Jedi Training Academy, and we had all intents and purposes. We were going to get up, going to go there real early, get in line, get her involved. And about a few days before we left, she's like, "Daddy, I'm too scared. I don't want to fight Darth Vader," you know. So I said, "Okay, well, that's fine." I said, "Well, you know, you ain't got too many years left. You know, she's six, she'll be seven. So, I mean, she has a few more years." But I said, "Well, you know, maybe next year you'll like to do it." I said, "Well, don't worry." I said, "If your brother was old enough, he would be doing it. You know, at two, he would be doing it if he could have.
Right. He'd do it with you."
Yeah. So she skipped out on that, but that was fine. Other than that, we did our normal deals. We got to ride. Well, most of my family, none of my family rides Tower of Terror or Rock and Roller Coaster. So I'll usually do those solo. My dad and I got to meet Kylo Ren, which was pretty cool. We didn't we met Chewbacca last year and didn't get to do Kylo. So we did Kylo this year. We could have done BB-8 because BB-8 had just started like a day before, because it was started during Star Wars Celebration on the Friday.
Oh, okay.
And so a couple of days later, you know, we were there, but we had just timed it wrong.
Oh no!
Where the little movie show that they show in Launch Bay had just ended, and everybody came out of there and right into the line BB-8.
So wave.
Yeah, so we had just missed it because we were walking around and it was like a 15-minute wait maybe, and then the theater emptied and we're like, oh well, it jumped up to like 30-40 minutes, and me and my dad weren't you know, willing to just to meet BB-8, so we kind of passed on that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Any other particular experiences that stood out special one way or the other? Did you do any dining in the park?
We did. We actually tried Pizza Rizzo for the first time.
And?
Which was your typical Disney pizza. It wasn't it wasn't anything great. I mean, it was good. We hadn't had pizza all week, so we had to have a little bit of pizza fix, but it was good. It was normal. It wasn't anything special. Like a lot of people, it could have been so much more if the pizza would have been, you know, a little bit better than the normal Disney pizza. They could have had a gold mine there, but it was packed. It was pretty busy. So, I mean, it eats up people, as you know, like they say, it's a people eater. It fills capacity, that sort of thing, you know,
sure,
for dining.
Sure. That's so disappointing. You know, I mean, it just drives me crazy. That was such a great opportunity. And I've railed about it during the dining tournament that we've got going on right now already, but it just kills me that they had such a terrific opportunity there to do something special, both with the Muppets and with pizza. And they sort of blew it on both fronts, in my opinion, from all of the reports I've gotten. I mean, it's okay. But why do a renovation that closes a restaurant for 6 months if it's going to come back okay?
Yeah, I mean, they could have done some flatbreads or something to that effect, you know, like they do at Pinocchio's Village House or something like that, and it would have been 100% better.
Well, yeah, they could have done flatbreads like that. They could have done something along the lines of the kind of thing that Blaze is doing in Disney Springs with the, you know, the thin crust, fast bake. You know, there are lots of things they could have done. And they didn't, you know, they pretty much spruced up what they had there. Anyway, enough of my rant. This is your trip report.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. I agree. And then we did Brown Derby for dinner, which we have done before, and had to go back and get my Cobb salad. So of course,
yes.
And we ended the evening. Actually, my family were a little tired by the end of that day, so they all left. But I stayed for the Star Wars fireworks. I was surprised that my daughter, you know, again being a big Star Wars fan like me, didn't want to stay, but she rather go back with my parents back to the hotel. So I ended up staying and watching the fireworks, and ended up meeting with a friend of mine that lives out there, and met her, an online friend I have from a while back that I used to do a VMK Virtual Magic Kingdom in the day with, and never met her in person. So
cool.
Through some texts, she lives there in the area, and ended up meeting her for the first time. So I got to watch it with her. So that was pretty neat.
Very nice. Very nice. So we've got one more park on tap. You were at Disney's Animal Kingdom, sort of on the cusp of, but not quite ready to open Pandora. So talk about Animal Kingdom. Is Disney's Animal Kingdom a park that you guys usually, you know, really dig into and spend a full day? Or are you one of the folks that, you know, Animal Kingdom had been a half-day park for you?
We usually have a full day there. Of course, now with the hours starting to be extended, and I'll get into that, we got to see Rivers of Light. Okay. You know, the park is a little bit longer, you know, a little bit longer stay there. But we did. And again, this is kind of the trend we're going with, is that more and more we're getting to the parks a little bit later. We're not rope drop people by all means anymore. Just with the two kids, and like I said, with my parents, you know, showing up a little bit later in the day. So we ended up getting there around 10:30, you know, so not right at rope drop, but, you know, not in a rush to get there. So we kind of plan our fast passes accordingly. We don't book anything really early in the morning and that sort of thing. But we ended up getting to ride pretty much all the big ones. You know, I rode Expedition Everest by myself. We rode Dinosaur, me and my dad. Of course, my kids loved Triceratops Spin. So we'll do that kiddie ride with them. We'll do the Maharaja Jungle Trek. One thing we ate at, and we hadn't eaten there in a while for lunch, we did Restaurantosaurus, which was really pretty good. I was very surprised with the fixings bar there. Like, they have an amazing fixing bar there.
Interesting. There's, so what was different about the fixings bar there that stood out to you?
Well, they had guacamole for one thing that usually isn't on there. There's there's chili, like real, you know, chili for the, basically I think what it is they give you your hot dog plain if you order a hot dog there,
right,
and you get the chili off the bar. So there was chili, there was cheese, there was guacamole, there was the grilled onions, the, you know, all that sort of thing, the grilled mushrooms, like, you know, some of the other ones have. But I thought it was, you know, amazing that they had like guacamole. So I loaded that burger up, man.
That's the idea. That's the idea. Take advantage of it. And of course, I love that the kids still get their meals in a bucket. We've commented recently that, you know, they need an adult bucket, right? Which would be, you know, the beer bucket.
Exactly. Yeah. They love the, well, my daughter, I think they shared, we got one, but they shared some nuggets, but they're playing with that thing to this day in the house. We brought it back home with us and they're playing with it. So yeah, they're getting good mileage out of it.
All right. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, yeah. And we actually, kind of getting to dinner, we actually did the candlelight, the Rivers of Light package at Tusker House.
Great.
So that was actually pretty good. We had eaten at Tusker House a while back. And my wife wasn't too keen on it. You know, I think the last time I did Tusker House was in 2009 on our honeymoon, me and my wife. She just didn't care for it at the time, I guess, maybe. Who knows why, but she really didn't care for the food there. But she was willing to try it because we had gotten the package. And we had eaten breakfast there before in the recent past, but never dinner recently. Okay. So we did the Rivers of Light package. We had an early dinner. I say early, about 4:30. You know, that's one caveat, one bad thing about some of these dining packages is you eat so early, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. But wasn't too bad. Was fine. But the character interaction was great as always, you know, Goofy and Minnie and Daisy, the whole gang was there. And so really great interaction with that. One surprise that we didn't know was coming is once you do the dinner package, they give you a lotus blossom glowing popcorn bucket.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, and it's free. They give it to you. I mean, if you want the popcorn, of course you pay, but it's only, I think, like $1.50 for the refill.
That's nice. You know? You're not paying the full price that you usually pay for the popcorn bucket up front because it's included as part of your dinner package. You're just paying for the refills.
Correct. And you get one, you know, one for the party. You don't get one per person, but you get one for the party. But so that was pretty, you know, that was very much a surprise, you know, so.
Yeah.
And of course it gives you, guaranteed seating in the section. There's two different sections. There's one section, which is for the fast pass. And then there's one section for the dinner packages. So of course we were instructed where to go, and showed up about maybe 30 minutes before the show and got a great spot for the show.
All right. So talk about the show itself and, you know, was the view from the reserved seating area, you know, did that make that dinner package feel like you got your value out of it?
Yeah, it was very much a good spot, good location. It wasn't too far, you know, sometimes, especially like with Fantasmic where you're all the way to the right or all the way to the left.
Exactly.
It wasn't that sort of thing. They have the amphitheater style seating on the river there in a way that, you know, really there's not too much of a bad spot. So, but we ended up getting more towards the middle anyway. And so it really worked out well. I definitely would recommend either way for sure to do the package or to do fast pass, you know, if you're looking to watch the show, because from what I'm hearing, you know, and this is, you know, what I'm hearing as far as walk-ups and waiting in line, you know, you have over easily an hour's wait and sometimes you're not getting in. But that's
right.
Yeah, there's just one show right now. And from what I'm understanding, they're going to eventually during the summer make it two shows a night.
Yeah, there are two show schedules. But, you know, once you figure in the larger crowds, especially with Pandora open and drawing crowds in, I would not be at all surprised, particularly with the early show, if there were still issues with there not being sufficient seating for, standby guests for the early show. There likely will be for the late show. I think we'll see the same effect that we saw at Fantasmic, right, where the late show was always a little easier than the early show. But the seating is limited, and I get the impression from everybody I've talked to that you really need to be kind of in the theater part to be able to get the full effect of the show.
You do. You could probably see some of it from kind of like on the sides during the walkway, but you're not going to get the full effect of the show. And it's a really good show. I mean, it's different. It's not World of Color. It's not Fantasmic, but it's definitely, of course, there are limitations because of the animals and that sort of thing. They can't have huge pyrotechnics or things like that. But the show is very good. The music is very good. I would definitely recommend seeing it once for sure. Now, if we would go back, I don't know. It's with young kids that I have, we may or may not go back in the near future. It would just have to be, somebody would have to in the family would have to request, hey, I want to go see it. But, I think once you see it, that's pretty much fine.
All right. That's a fair assessment. So we've talked about all four parks. We talked a little bit about, your dining experiences in parks. Any out-of-park dining or time spent at Disney Springs on this particular trip?
No, we didn't get to go to Disney Springs this time, unfortunately. We had went back in November and had spent a few hours there that day. That was our first actual meet, our first time going back to Disney Springs since all the renovations and everything. That was back in last November. But this time, since it was a shorter trip, again, we didn't have time for going there that this time, unfortunately.
All right. So in that case, let's just kind of move to our usual wrap-up questions. This was a little different trip for you, and it's the kind of trip maybe that we haven't talked about so much. So if somebody else was considering taking a trip down to experience something like a Star Wars Celebration, or as we're recording this, this weekend has been MegaCon down there in Orlando. Somebody was looking to do a fan convention type activity, sort of in adjunct to a Disney trip. What kind of tips would you give them? What kind of suggestions would you make that might help them make the decision about whether this was right for them?
I think it's a good thing to do. You get a little bit of both, when it comes to any kind of convention and that sort of thing. And the transportation to and from Disney property to Orlando Convention Center or whichever, location it might be at is pretty easy in Orlando. Of course, if you were to stay at one of the downtown hotels that are connected, that are right there, the Rosen Center, I think, is one of them that I can remember, or the Hilton, or whichever ones they have right there at the convention center. Of course, you'd be in walking distance and be able to go back and forth really quick, So if you're like mainly focused on the con, if you're going for 3 or 4 days to a con, something like that, you would probably might be better for you to stay at one of those. Of course, it all depends on if you're flying in, you're driving in, that sort of thing. We always fly. We always get some pretty good deals at Disney, and we're more of a Disney family. The trip was more of, we were going there for the Star Wars Celebration, but the main focus was the Disney trip as well.
Right.
So staying at Disney was more of a priority for us, and then finding transportation to the convention center was the next step. It wasn't sure. It wasn't the other way around. It's not like we were going to the convention and trying to find transportation every day to go to the Disney property, that sort of thing.
Right. All right. And then looking back, what's going to be that one enduring memory of this trip that's going to say, April 2017, Disney vacation in your mind, 5 years down the road?
It'll definitely be the Star Wars convention. I would have, of course, liked to have been there more than one day, of course. But that one day that we stayed there was definitely fun and definitely an eye opener, and definitely want to go back to the next one when it comes back in 2019. So,
okay. Well, that sounds great. Thanks so much, Todd, for coming along and, sharing this experience with us. I look forward to hearing about the next one.
Will do, Aaron. Thanks.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment. And there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.